remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
What is up, CJSF 90.1? It is Katie here, pre-recording a lovely little track for you while I'll be away on the open mic. But here, let's let Nina Simone take it away, and then I'll tell you more. Just Nina Simone singing My Baby Just Cares For Me. Honestly, my favorite song right now. It's been my favorite song for like the last month. Just got that. It gives me a pep in my step everywhere I walk. It just feels like I'm on top of the world with Nina Simone at my side. Anyways, yeah, this is CJSF 90.1. We're at Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. But I am pre-recording this. Oh, hold on. Why? Let's get rid of that sound. My goodness. I'm getting emails. At this hour, do they not know that I'm recording a little podcast? Okay. So, I will be in Montreal when you are listening to this, which is pretty awesome. So, I won't even be on these nations. I'll be on some different nations, which is very exciting. But anyway, so this is going to be the all-girls singing show today. I was in a girly mood. But before we get into that, I wanted to tell you about this play that I went to on Saturday. That's going on right now, and you can even see it tonight at 7:30 at Jericho Arts Center. It's called The Best Restaurant in the World Ever. And it's about this chef who owns his restaurant. His name is Joe. And he's just like seeing these visions and just having these mental problems. But all of his staff is like, they're super used to it. And it's pretty funny because they all know that like if a chef or like if one of the customers complains, they're like, oh God, please don't complain because Joe's going to come out. So it's pretty funny. And then all of a sudden this woman who can talk to ghosts comes into his life and he discovers love and care, and it's pretty awesome because it's comedy, but it's also very like it just feels very sentimental, and everyone put a lot of effort into it who was acting. And I also found the lighting to be super impressive because there were these moments where the lighting would switch and it just made everything feel so much more intimate, like as if you were watching a TV show. It was very like sitcom-y. It reminded me a lot of Gilmore Girls with all the wacky characters. But anyways, probably the highlight was that while I was there, I also got to interview an SFU graduate named Lachlan Harris Faisal, and he played Bruno in the play, which is, he has a cool, like, duo comedy with another one of the guys in the play. It's pretty awesome, and I got to talk to him about just what it's like. He just graduated SFU, so what that transition's like, and, like, what he learned from SFU, and, like, what projects he's working on now. And also just about his favorite parts from the play. So here's that interview. Please don't mind that there is a lot of background noise. They had some very ambient accordion music playing in the background. So enjoy it, honestly. It's a pretty awesome interview. It's very fun. So here is Lachlan Harris Faisal talking about The Best Restaurant in the World, which is playing. It's playing now, and its last day is the 16th. So get out there, go watch it. It's super fun. So here you go.
When did you graduate SFU?
I graduated like literally a month ago.
Yeah, so how has that transition been going from like doing plays with SFU to doing a play like by yourself kind of?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been weird. I mean, I feel like at SFU, like the SCA promotes such a like do-it-yourself type vibe where a lot of it is like, okay, this is performance creation, you're gonna make your own show. And you know, we work a lot with devising and kind of like more contemporary techniques like that. And so going into the professional world outside of school and doing a show that is not using those techniques has been, it's been really refreshing. It's been fun to be like, okay, great, I have this fantastic toolbox that the SCA gave me, and now I'm going out and I get to use it in not a space where I'm creating, but in a space where I'm taking someone else's source material and I'm, you know, putting that on in their play, but still getting to like live within that as like the character allows, which is, it's been fun. It's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you learned from SFU that you like specifically applied to this performance?
Oh God, let me think. I feel like I learned. Definitely, I didn't use as much like of the creation techniques of like, okay, this is how you make a show, because obviously the show's already made. But definitely, I took a lot of the techniques that I learned in like my voice and movement courses. You know, like I feel like always before any show, you know, I'm gonna warm up properly. I'm gonna like get into my body, right? I'm gonna warm up my voice and utilize my voice in a way that is, you know, good for what I want to do for the character. So definitely I use a lot of those techniques that SFU taught of just like how to be an actor, right? So a lot of that great stuff.
Yeah, I also saw that you did dance with SFU.
I did, yeah.
So I was wondering, like, do you feel like the skill of dancing connects with the skill of acting, and they kind of influence each other?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I feel like, I mean, not a lot of people think this, but I do feel like you know, in a way, like, dance is theater, right? I think that, and vice versa as well. I feel like it's all performance at the end of the day, and it was so cool to be in the dance rep show last year. You know, I mean, I'm really grateful to Rob Kitsos for that. He's such a fantastic choreographer and professor, and being brought into that show was really, it was very eye-opening for me because I hadn't really done a lot of dance before that. So I was like, okay, this is a whole new performance technique, And that actually has brought a ton of, it's brought a lot more perspective into my acting and my theater creation skills and repertoire since, because I'm like, okay, how am I going to, you know, this is great. Like, how am I going to do this show, right? You think about it vocally, you think about it character-wise, but I think also what a lot of actors forget to do is think about, a lot of people think about how they're moving, right? But I feel like there is a certain way that dancers think about how they're moving that actors don't, and so it's very interesting to bring that way of thinking into a theatrical space, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I noticed, like, in this play, everyone is really good at being really over the top, the physical comedy.
Yeah.
I was wondering, was that something that just happened naturally with you guys, or was that your director influencing that?
So she definitely told us to go over the top.
Like, yeah.
Our director, Karen, who's great. I love her very much. One of her big notes was, like, I want you to go so far that I need to tell you to pull it back, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's such a great place to live in, and she gave us so much room to be in that. It was really nice to just have kind of like the leash taken off, right? And just like, okay, go, do whatever you want, you know? That's clearly apparent, and that a lot of people are very big, you know?
Was there ever a moment where she had to tell you to pull back, that you guys were doing too much?
Yes, yeah, no, really? I'm trying to think of when that was. I remember that there definitely were some times she was like, okay, too far. She definitely said it to Jordan, who plays Max, at one point. Because there was some definitely times where he's very much going over the top with his character. So he definitely got that note before. I think me and Kenneth, who played Aldo, might have gotten that note. I think maybe like once when we did the first scene where we're talking to Teresa about how we believe that we're cheating on the other, right, and everything, and we're kind of not really clued into what's actually going on. And definitely there was a lot of like very there's a lot of overacting going on, a lot of Al Pacino type lines being thrown out, which was a lot of fun. But it's good to play in that, and then it's great when you have to pull back. So yeah.
So, do you have any favorite scenes from the play, like, as a whole?
Yes. No, I mean, oh, God, I'm trying to think of... I love... the ending scene is very funny. Like, Rando's whole thing. I mean, I love the scenes I'm in. Not to be that guy.
Yeah.
But, you know...
No, me too.
I really like the scene where we both realize after Rhea leaves and goes to make us a coffee, where we have our little back and forth of like, what do you bring this up for? No, what do you mean? I love you too. But like that kind of, we have such a, we built such a good chemistry in that scene. It was so fun to be in that. And yeah, I feel like that one of my favorites, I'd say.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, so what's next for you? For like, are you auditioning or?
Yeah, there's some stuff in the works, hopefully. But currently right now, I'm hopefully gonna, waiting on to hear back from the Revolver Festival in June. I sent in an application with my my friend and collaborator, Katie Garasim, who's also a graduate of SFU. So fingers crossed on that. We'll see how that happens. But even if we don't get in, we're hopefully going to be producing the show sometime next year, potentially. I'm working out of a new studio space that me and a couple of other friends and collaborators have rented. We've got a studio space out in East Van called The Wormhole. We do monthly like 5-minute performance nights. We do like movie nights and stuff where it's just open for anyone to come in, and we show local art in amongst our circles. But you know, people can come in and watch and have a good time. So that's kind of what I'm working on at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's amazing. Thanks for talking to us about that. People can come check out The Wormhole.
Yeah, they can. We're on Instagram at Through the Wormhole Theater. So check that out. And yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, very cool. Well, so thanks so much for doing this interview with me. That's very. Is there anything else you want to say before we leave?
Come see the best restaurant in the world ever. We are open until November 16th. So Yeah.
True that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, there was Lachlan talking about the best restaurant in the world. If you go watch it, which you definitely should, go say hi to Lachlan. It's pretty cool. At the end, all the actors just come out into the main lobby, so you can, if you want to be that person, you can go up to them and, like, congratulate them and tell them how great they were. Tell Lachlan I sent you. Yeah, it's a super great atmosphere. I can't believe I didn't even mention that, but just the lobby itself at Jericho Arts Center, you should go just to see that. It has this, like, beautiful rug and, like, paintings on the walls, beautiful high ceilings. Like, I didn't even know we had something like that in Vancouver. And it's obviously on Jericho Beach, so after you can go out and, like, check out the bunnies. So, yeah, it's just an amazing way to spend your time supporting some local theater. And, yeah, we were talking about Max during that, who was the, like, maitre d' of the restaurant, and he was hilarious. You just have to... Actually, I don't even have anything to say. You just have to go and watch it. Anyways, now we're going to get back into the music sides of things, back into our girly grooves. Shout out to Girly So Groovy. They do only... That's a show on the CJSF, and they only do, like, music by women. It's pretty awesome. So we're going to start it off with The Beginning of the End by Kiki Mora. This is a super cool band name. I was looking into it. It's named after a Slavic folklore creature who's this house creature that it seems like their morality kind of depends on the owner of the house, which is pretty cool. So definitely take good care of your house if you don't want to get, like, cursed by the Kiki Mora or whatever they do. But first, we're going to do a quick PSA from the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness, and then we'll get right into it.
Just one more thing before your interview. Can I have your address, please?
I live on Main Street.
I need your exact address.
I live on Main Street.
Oh.
No job, no home. And no home, no job. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Thank you.
What's up? This is Katie at CJSF 90.1 doing the open mic, pre-recorded, because I'll be out of town. Pretty awesome. But yeah, so we just went across many genres in those past three songs, and I think like all those bands brought some really refreshing takes to their genres. We had Kiki Mora doing Beginning of the End, and that's kind of an R&B style, but they really, you couldn't limit it to that. It's just super, like, it's just super tight. Like, every song that I just played was made by some really talented bands. Like, and then the next one was She's Green, which did the song Silhouette, a bit of a shoegaze vibe. And once again, just like a super genuine take on that genre. And then we had Wombo doing the song Danger and Vibes, which is their title track for their new album called Dangers and Vibes. And I guess that's kind of like an indie rock sort of genre, but I thought that they really just made it their own, and I thought it was really satisfying how all these artists just, like, it feels like really individual music. And I think, I guess that's, I see that a lot from this lovely CJSF library. But yeah, so this is the show where we're doing all women's music. And yeah, I really liked She's Green on their Bandcamp, had a really beautiful and mystical little phrase. It goes, "Dreamin' fuzz, seein' green." And all the album covers are like very naturey and ethereal, which is pretty similar to their music. And then next, we're gonna listen to some Orchidae. I played them last time as well. This song is called Lullaby for a Plum, and it is just another level of serenity. I'm so excited for you to hear it. But first, we're gonna listen to this PSA for $10 a day, child daycare.
My name's Eric Swanson, and I'm a dad of two young girls. It was a game changer when we learned that $10 a day childcare was being offered to both our kids. And we want all BC families to have this option. To get there, BC has to do three key things. Pay fair and consistent wages for all childcare educators. Transition all existing programs to $10 a day. And plan childcare expansion more like we do schools and hospitals. BC's on the right track, but we need to go faster. Go to 10aday.ca to learn more.